We're on page Kuf Kof Tes in Tanya, which is Igeres HaKodesh, which is page 257, concluding chapter 19. The Alter Rebbe concludes the chapter by discussing the different levels of in reference to the three worlds, in reference to the Isis, the letters of the Sefer Torah, because these letters also exist on different levels. Isis Aniglus Lanu, the letters of the Sefer Torah which are revealed to us, meaning that when we look at a physical script such as the writing in a Sefer Torah, we see that there are letters. We only see a physical form, but really the letters exist on three levels: Hein b'maisa, dibur, u'machshava. They exist practically, they exist in the world of speech, and they also exist in the world of thought. The Maisa Hein Tumunus Isis Shabiksava Shuri Shabasefer Torah. What does it mean, the physical, the practical aspects of the letters? That is, those letters which are written down and have a physical shape, as they are written in Kesav Ashuri in the Sefer Torah. Kesav Ashuri literally means the Asherite form of the script. This is a reference to the fact that there were thousands of years ago, there were two forms of Hebrew script. One is called Kesav Ashuri, which is the script that we see in the Sefer Torah today, and the other is called Kesav Ivri, which is from the word Ivri, meaning Hebrew, which is actually a form of script which is similar to other languages at that time that used very, very similar forms. These are inscriptions that have been found, ancient inscriptions, you know, maybe for 2,000 to 3,000 years ago, most of them have been found to be in the form of Kesav Ivri. That's just a by the way about what does he mean here by Kesav Ashuri. The way our Sefer Torah is written is in Kesav Ashuri, the Asherite script. So the physical letter on the parchment is the Maisa of Isis, the practical aspect of letters. The Isis had dibur nechkakais behevel v'koil amishale lekof beis chalakim shoinim zemi zebu tzurasa. What does it mean, the letters as they are in speech? Well, obviously, when you read a word, you are thereby putting together letters and forming a sound. So we now have the voice version of the letters as written on the page. They can be converted into a read form, and we're repeating those letters and words in sound. So that now is dibur, the speech aspect of the letters. He mentions the 22 parts, or different parts. These refer to the 22 different letters, and each letter forms a different, what's called mitzei peh, a different formation of the mouth, generally using the hey mitzos haper, which are the five ways in which a sound is generated by the mouth. And these are the obvious ones of the using the lips, the teeth, the palate, the tongue, and the throat. So you have, for example, letters which are called gutturals, because guttural means from the throat. So the letter ches, or ches, as pronounced by Aspardi, or chof, or kuf, are gutturals. And then you have the ones formed by the teeth, which is taf and tet, etc. And the formed by the lips, like mem and beis. And so these are the hematur saper, the five utterances or five ways of uttering using the mouth. And this, the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis are divided into the five categories, telling us of which part of the mouth is used to produce that letter. But The bottom line is we have 22 different ways of uttering a letter. Shehi havaras umifta hakaf beis oisis b'chol lashon, which is the expression of or pronunciation of the 22 letters in all languages. Why he adds all languages is because basically all languages share these 22 different formations. There probably are exceptions to that, because for example in Russian you have a zh sound, yeah, which is not exactly a shin, and it's not a zayin, but yeah, it's a combination of the two. So we don't have that in Hebrew, a zh. It will either be sh or z, and it's a combination. But basically, the letters are there in all languages. Ki ein hefresh bein lashon hakodesh bein shar lashonis b'merus havaras ha'osius ki im b'tzirufa. There is no difference between Hebrew and, which Hebrew is termed the lashon hakodesh, which means the holy tongue, because it's used for learning the holy Torah. Mm-hmm. And other languages, in the way that the letters are expressed, it's only the way that the letters are put together that makes the differences between languages. So in Hebrew you will have a word which is the putting together of some letters, and it forms a word, and that word only exists in Hebrew but doesn't exist in English. So you've got the word avol, which means but in Hebrew, but there is no word avol in English, mm-hmm, even though you could write down the letters A-V-O-L and you'd have the word avol. Mm. But it happens to be that it's not a word in the English language. So you get another combination where it is a word in the English language but it has a different meaning. So for example, you can have dal or dol in Hebrew, which means poor, and dol in English means a dull. So it's the same sound, but a different meaning. So all he's saying is, the sounds are common to all languages. The differences in the languages will be whether the word exists in that language or not, and if it does exist, it might have a different meaning altogether. And interestingly, there are some words which exist in all languages, like the word sack, which is the same throughout all the languages. And it means the same thing. V'ayishis ha-machshava ein gam kein b'chol loshon she'odam mechashiv teves v'ayishis ha-loshon she'ein kof beis levad. And what does it mean, the thought aspect of letters? Mm-hmm. This is that when a person is trying to communicate, you form the words in your mind before you actually say them. It's not exactly simultaneous, because you have to think of what you're going to say before you say it. Mm. Although some people don't think of what they're going to say and say stupid things because they don't think. But even the stupid thing that a person said had to be thought prior to that. So, in any case, a person could, without saying anything, think. And when we think in language. We don't think in blank terms. If you think, you're in a nervous situation and you don't know what to say to somebody, in your mind you'll be saying, what can I say to him? And that will be those words, those letters in your mind. So that is the machshava of Osius, the aspect of thought of letters as well. So we see that Osius, letters, exist on all three levels of Maisa, Dibur, and Machshava. There's the practical letter, there is the spoken letter, and there is the thought letter. Rak sheba machshava yesh bagam gimel minei b'chines oisius. Except that in thought, there are three types of letters. Shari kesheroya b'sefer Torah tumunas oisius. He mitztairus b'machshavta. V'zeh nikra b'chines asiya b'machshava. Because, let's take an example of looking at a sefer Torah and seeing the letters written in the Sefer Torah, then when you read them without saying the words, they become connected in your mind. They become formed in your mind. And this would be called the level of Asiya Sheba Makshava. It's still in the world of Makshava, meaning it's still thought, because when you look at a page and you see the letters and you don't say it to anybody, you're just reading it inside your brain, then that is a thought. Mm. That is the thought of the letters. But it's come about as a result of seeing it on a printed page. So that is a connection with Asiya, a connection with practicality. So it's called the Asiya Shebemachshava, the practicality of thought. Now what happens if you didn't see the letters, but you heard the letters? Then the voice, sound of the letters, also imprints itself in your mind, and you're able to think about that. So that is called the Dibur of Machshava. And that relates to the world of Yetzirah. Because we said this is going to be how the letters relate to the different worlds. V'aisis ha-machshava levada, b'li hirur aisis ha-dibur, nikra machshava shebe-machshava. And the letters of thought on their own, without thinking of the word of the letters of speech, or looking at something written down on a text or parchment, that would be called the thought of thought, where you've just thought of an idea and put it into words and letters without the prompt of anyone else's speech or anyone else's writing. And that is called Bechinas Bria, which is the higher world of Bria. So in the three worlds you've got Asiya, Yetzira, Bria going upwards. So Asiya is the practicality of Machshava, of letters, and Yetzira is the Dibur of Machshava, of letters, and Bria is the thought of the thought of letters. V'hine oisyes hadiba mamish he misavis and mekablis chayusam me'oisyes eile hatzen shema machshava. Now the letters of speech get their existence and receive their life force from the letters of Machshava, because obviously, as we said before, that nobody says anything before they think about what they're going to say. So how is it therefore if a person can be thinking one thing and saying another thing? Surely that contradicts the idea that you've got to think of the letters and the words in order to say them. How can you therefore be thinking of something else and yet you're speaking? We know that you can have like trains of thought.
Yeah.
How would this fit with what we just said? So he says, this is no question, Hari Aina Yochaladabiki Maisan Diburim Mitsirufim Shekra Dibram, but the truth is you can only think one thing and say another when you've already on a prior occasion used those words and thought of those words, and they are what's called Shagul Bafib, which means that you're used to saying them without too much thought. Then you're able to think and you're able to speak at the same time. Why? Because you have fed the speech with a prior thought, not the thought you're thinking at the time, but one that you thought before. And these words were in your mind many times. So why you're able to say words or to make a sentence or make a statement without really putting much thought to it is because you've already supplied the thought on many previous occasions. And you've become so used to saying that combination of words that the amount of thought you need to generate them now is minimal, and that leaves room for you to think of something else whilst you're speaking. And this is the hindsight, and the externality of Nehi Netzach HaYisoid, which we said earlier in this chapter in previous shiurim, is referring to that level of prophecy which Moshe Rabbeinu reached. So that comes from the parts of Elyon, the higher parts of literally means a face, but it refers to the structure of the spheres on the higher levels that come down into the lower levels, that it should be the Moichin, the highest Kanada, it should be the source of intellect and life force as is known. So what he's saying at the end here is that it's possible for there to be a revelation on the lower levels like we're talking about dibur, which is speech, which is a lower level of communication, but it is inspired by a prior thought from a much higher level, which then is expressed in the lower level of speech.